First of all, I just want to say thank you for all the people that's listening and chiming in on me. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. So I appreciate you doing that. Hopefully that way we can learn how to agree to disagree, and we can live like people. Well, I make the hard topics, I say the hard things, I make the thing itch scratch. So if your itch is not scratching, and you scratching on the itch, maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror. So I'm not here for no drama. I'm not here for no nothing. Just to learn, and edify. This is from learning situations only. So I'm not here to get anybody's hairs up. So again, thank you. And hopefully we can agree to disagree.
Get that horse and his wagon, get that man and his rifle, get that priest and his Bible, get them that's dead on arrival, them that pray see heaven, them that don't see devil, separate but equal, say them that slave my people, so break them chains and shackles. Come again. Get that horse and his wagon. Get that man and his rifle. Get that priest and his Bible. For them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Not again.
Hey, fam. What's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you don't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And all of us, we should thank all the Most High, and we should thank Jesus Christ for dying on the cross and bringing us back to the Creator bosom. Thank you, Yahweh. And thank you, Yahweh Shai, for all you do for us as Israel and for all you do for the other nations. Mosiah gave us a lot of things to see in this world that we haven't seen. He increased our knowledge by videos and other people's knowledge, giving us knowledge, because that's how knowledge is given. For it wasn't books a long time ago. It was teaching by word of mouth and examples. But now, you know, I preach about this, and I tell you this about how non-pigmentation man have a perpetual hate against us. I know. Well, there you go again, Faith. There you go again, Faith. So, Faith, you always talking about that always with black people, white people. Don't you got a biracial son, Shay? You always talking about that. But you used to mess with him. But why you always talking about him? See, Faith, you need to watch yourself. You know, you always talking about this stuff and these people coming up here messing with you and all that. And I know you be telling the truth, but man, can we just forget it? Can we all just get along? See, bro, I understand. Can we all get along? And yes, you know, I have a son, he's biracial. And when I was a child, I act like a child and I spoke like a child. When I came a man of the Most High, I started doing as the man of the Most High should and required to do. So, you know, we got all these things out here in this world that's not really Right. Now, and I tell you this history. That's why I say in Luke 70 that the Most High said that he was coming to get us from our enemies. And what our enemies do and how their enemy does. We already know, I know America and the people in America hear this and tired of it. But the other people out in this world, in this, in the sound, in the era of my voice, that my voice is listening to in their eardrums, tickling in their ears, in other countries, may not know and should know and be able to have empathy for their people and not allow those stuff to manifest in their nation. Because we don't want to talk about the hard thing, what we must do. We got to get in our nation, man. We got to make our nation strong. We got to develop our nation so we can start developing and being a powerhouse. That's all I'm looking forward to. That's all I really care about. That other stuff that the Most High require folly, it's just folly. We should, as adult men and adult women, as I thought like a child, I act like a child, and I spoke as a child, when I became a woman and a man of the Most High, I start put the childish things away and start doing what the Most High said. And I see a lot of childish things that we do, man. That's why we had to build up our IQ and emotional intellect, build up our IQ on how we speak to each other, build up our IQ of how we see things, and how build up our IQ of how we build things. Because we as a nation, we never was built that. You know, every time we get into a building thing, they always have something to calm us down. Like they bring out those racist police officers. There you go again, Faith. There you go again. Oh, police officers ain't bad. Oh, police officers ain't bad. So I ain't gonna let you get away with that because I believe that we should have legal and they should be out there enforcing the Constitution and doing what the Constitution do. Yeah, Faye, but I ain't gonna let you talk about the police. I love the police and I like the police. Yeah, Faye, I ain't gonna let you say, but they got some good ones and they got some bad ones, Faye. So, you know, I ain't gonna let you get away with that, you know, Faye. Yeah, I understand that, Grump. But you got to realize the police started off what? As slave patrol. Has that myth, has that mindset had changed during the set time as slave patrol? Is that mindset erased? Is that mindset still there? You know, see, Grump, I understand your concerns and why you be grumpy like this. But sometimes, you know, if you get into the reality and you see this reality, and maybe this reality making you being a little grumpy. It's not wiping off the people, some of the people that work in the police field. It's wiping out what the police thing, you know, mindset was and still is. And I tell you that, you know, they have people and police officers that don't want them to have high IQ. This is why I was telling y'all about the IQ thing. When they say they really don't want people with a high IQ to join the police force. So if you have a low IQ, what type of individual will you be? I'm talking about, I'm speaking to how I want the black man and a black woman. I can't speak for the Latino and the Native Indian. They can sit with the crowd. Now, tell us to be honest with us. Who is the most racist age in the Caucasian? We know they're young or whatever, but it's around. It starts around. Around the 30-ish to all the way up, right? Especially when these people just live working in the factories or just got these bum jobs and blame everybody else. They blame everybody else, but the Most High gave them an opportunity to rule the world, and they failed in what they do. If the Most High gave Caucasian people, non-pigmentation people, the opportunity to rule the world at this moment, and they didn't meet the mark, then they get mad at other people. Because this is what your blessing is. You rule in the world. This is what your people do. So how can you be homeless, and how can you be without? You know, because all this mess is created by a messy person, a messy nation. And they got their fingerprint all over people. The bigotry, the hate. The Bible says that Esau has a perpetual hate against Jacob, our forefather. Esau, the Caucasian man forefather, and Jacob, our forefather, Edomites, Esau, right? He said his nation has a perpetual hate against our nation. Why? When we got here to America, why? They already knew who we were. When they said the Arab, don't forget the Arabs, y'all. See, what y'all sleeping on? I'm not gonna counsel them out anymore, because the Arabs do the same thing. The Arabs do the same thing, y'all. So the Arabs is doing the same thing that the Caucasian man doing to us in America. That's what the Arabs are doing. And we allow these people to set up all these things to oppress the whole world, man. We allow hate, greed, wickedness, unloyalty, righteous, brotherhood, sisterhood, all out the door. Allow this. This right here, this is what we allow. But we didn't really allow this. I can only say this, the Caucasian man and the Caucasian woman allowed this. Why did I say this? We as black men and black women, Latino man and Latino woman, and Native Indian man and Native Indian woman, who was in here from the start, didn't have no say and didn't have no power. Now at the time that we grow into where we at here, still nowhere and nothing is here. Why is that? Job, in the book of Job, said the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. And all this stuff that you heard on my podcast, and all this stuff that you don't want to hear, look at all this wickedness. And make it so bad. This is how the wicked so slick. The wicked come out here and say they real holy, right? And when they real holy, right, they be like, go to everybody else's country saying that this is the way you're supposed to be holy. And then they crack the council and holy, they looking up places and stuff that they could steal or take or try to figure a way to get something out of you. We don't want to roll the picture a little back further. See, if we stop at slavery, right, then there's no accountability. Man, when we go back further than slavery, all the wickedness, how they came up on people's world, what they did, how this and that and that, and then you'll see the big picture of who's the problem child. Bible said, Esau says, this is what Esau said, y'all. When our forefather Isaac blessed Jacob and gave him his blessing, Esau said, you have one blessing for me? He said, yeah. He gonna give him the weapons, but you know who's the master of weapons in this world. He gonna be the dude of all everybody in everybody country. Right? So, but if he's the master of weapons, if you're the master of weapons, that means that you don't have time. They have a conversation because, hey, I got these guns. If I got two machine guns right here in my hand and there's 12 people with rocks and sticks, who gonna win? Who authority gonna win at that time? Even though you could be stronger than them, bigger than them, crafty in there. But when they got them gone, then what? They ain't gonna do nothing but shoot you and make everybody else be scared. And there's no reasoning with it. And my thing is, to y'all is, how? And why? There's a non-pigmentation man and a non-pigmentation woman hate us. Why?
Story. Tonight, three Wilmington, North Carolina police officers have been fired after a routine audit of a patrol car camera uncovered what authorities describe as extremely racist comments toward African Americans. Here's CBS's Jeff Pegues.
An internal probe by the Wilmington Police Department reveals hate-filled conversations with three veteran officers. Officer Kevin Piner is heard telling Corporal Jesse Moore that the protests would soon lead to a civil war and that he is ready. He goes on to tell Moore that he was going to buy a new assault rifle and soon we are just going to go out and start slaughtering them expletive N-words. Piner says a civil war is needed to wipe them off the expletive map. That'll put them back about four or five generations. Later, during a phone call with Piner, Moore refers to a woman he arrested as the N-word and says she needed a bullet in her head right then. Donnie Williams is the department's new police chief. He fired the officers on his first day.
When you talk about killing people and generations of people, that is disturbing.
According to investigators, the officers blame their comments on the stress of today's climate in law enforcement. CBS News has reached out to the police union and the three officers for comment. So far, they haven't responded. Jeff Pegues, CBS News, Washington.
morning, everybody. Let me first start with the weather today. Ohio really has a bullseye directly on us. If you look at weather warnings, we are at a level 4. So this is a probability of high wind, flooding, possible tornadoes, possible hail. And this covers virtually the entire state. So we had one phase. Now we're going to head into the second phase around 2 o'clock this afternoon that should run till about midnight. So I would just caution all Ohioans to be extremely careful. Stay close to your devices, your TV, your radio. This is the best way to get the information. We know some areas.
Student being used as target practice.
Yeah.
Teachers allowed it, tried to cover it up. But there's a recording. So let's get into it. Put up the picture full mask. So there's a school in South Carolina. A mother has now filed a lawsuit against a South Carolina school district and 3 high school employees who allegedly tried to suppress her daughter's complaint of racial discrimination. This is a hell of a story. This incident allegedly happened at Green C. Floyd's High School. Miss Crystal Dozier sued the Horry County School District on behalf of her 17-year-old daughter for racial discrimination, harassment, defamation, and retaliation. There's a basis for the complaint. Principal Nick Harris, assistant principal Mary Price, and English teacher Kristen Webster are all named in the suit, and there's good reason. According to the complaint, the discrimination started when Dozier's daughter wanted to join the school's tennis team last summer. With millions watching and many people benefiting from this program called Indisputable, we just need one. However, her request to join was never answered by Coach Webster, who served as the team's tennis coach. All of the team's members at the time were white females. Dozier's daughter is a black female. When Dozier, the mother, interceded, Coach Webster then permitted her daughter to join the team. However, Coach Webster, according to the suit, allowed all the other girls to use Dozier's daughter as target practice throughout each day's practice, according to the complaint. On August 25th, 2023, Dozier's daughter approached Coach Webster to complain that she was being racially discriminated against. Coach Webster tabled the discussion for later that day, and then invited the assistant principal, Mary Price, and a student of Indian descent with similar complaints to the meeting. During that meeting, Coach Webster allegedly, quote, got argumentative with Dozier's daughter and then berated her, disregarded her concerns of race discrimination, attempted to stifle her complaints, and verbally assaulted her, end quote. The complaint states, Dozier later, this is the mother, later met with Price and Principal Nick Harris after her daughter called her to the school. Both Price and Harris claimed her daughter, Miss Dozier's daughter, had been, quote, aggressive and violent during their earlier meeting. Oh my goodness, no ma'am, Miss Dozier, your daughter was out of line, out of control. She was violent. She was aggressive. There are 3 upstanding adults who can attest to this. Okay? Now, here's the kicker. Price and Harris also attempted to stifle all complaints of race discrimination and prevent Dozier and her daughter from making any complaints to the district, stating they do not allow any race discrimination complaints and that they do not see race at Green C. Floyd's High School. How in the student?
Now, why is this so important? Because CERN is about to start up the Hadron Collider, ladies and gentlemen, on April 8th, on the day of the biggest solar eclipse in American history, where millions of people are flying from around the world. They are going to collide these hadron atoms, these protons, these electrons are going to be collided on this day. Now, why in the world would they choose April 8th to do this? I have no idea. But this company is creepy on every level, and I'll tell you why. Not only is CERN in CERN, Switzerland, but I want to show you this because this is cause for, in my opinion, a cause for alarm, and here's why. If you take a look at where it's actually at, okay, a large portion of CERN is located in the territory of St. Genis Poli, probably not pronouncing that right. In Roman times, it was called Apollicum. The town and the temple were dedicated to Apollyon, the destroyer. So this is ancient Horus. This is Shiva. The town Apollyon literally is dedicated to the god of destruction, the god of chaos, the destroyer. And this entire Hadron Collider is right in the middle of Apollyon. Now, why is that so important? Because if you go to the book of Revelation, this is what we read. It says in chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 11, to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Now, you might not find that just a coincidence, but the fact that they've got this Hadron Collider, which some people, even very, very important scientists, are scared out of their mind of what is going to happen. Now, CERN will tell you on their website, we have no intention of doing anything wrong. Who has intention of blowing up the world? Who has intention of accidentally cracking open a time-space continuum and having something on the other side? Well, I believe they're not telling the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So take a look at this quote straight from the director of research at CERN concerning the exact purpose of this Hadron Collider. Listen to this, quote, something may come through dimensional doors at LHC, the Large Hadron Collider. And out of this door might come something, or we might send something through it. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of CERN, they tell you it's all for scientific research. No, they're looking for the God particle. They want to know what's holding the universe together. And ultimately, they're trying to get into time travel. They want to open up the curtain of what is behind our dimension and get into the multiverse. This is what they're after. They believe there are multiple universes happening in parallel to one another simultaneously, and they want to tear that open. And they know that something has the potential of coming through it. Now, we just read out of the book of Revelation that the Apollyon comes out, that the doors of the deep are, the gates are opened up, and crazy things come out of the deep. Could it possibly be, would it be that much of a stretch to say that maybe we're the ones that do it? Maybe in our effort in mankind to find a wormhole, to get into Star Trek world, to discover more and more and more and more, like the Tower of Babel, that eventually maybe we actually do open up the space-time continuum. We open up the doors of the second dimension and the demonic realm comes alive onto this earth. It's very possible. They just said that's exactly what they know is possible. So for what's really fascinating is evolution is dead. The scientists at the highest level now know there is a spiritual realm. There is another dimension beyond ours, and they're trying to tap into it. And my friends, the last time this happened was the Tower of Babel, and it didn't go over too well for them.
Those earthquakes, we in the end times. They gave his babies to the Gators, don't forget now. He delivered us from Egypt, about to do it all again. Finding out that we the people, so we putting down our sins. Father, we wanna go home, Abba, please let us in. Oh, and know unto your word, cause you about to send your winds. Abba, keep us from the hour of temptation. Trusting in your word, we just waiting. Come get us from these nations. Abba, keep us from the trickery of Satan. Trusting in your word, not these nations. We in the tribulation.
Tell me, we get what we deserve. Oh, we get what we deserve. Tell me, Protagonist. 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 Protagonist.
I don't even know where to start. In between my busy schedule comprised entirely of surviving white America, there is simply no time to write letters. Besides, any letter I write would most likely bring tears to your eyes, and I, for one, have had my fill of white tears. There are days I think you aren't worth my ink, that your whiteness is draining me of too much energy. Can't give you a taste of the tea for fear you'll colonize the whole kitchen. But today, I am too angry to remain silent. Dear white people, stop making everything about you and how uncomfortable you are. I honestly don't give a flying fuck about your comfort level. You have made my very existence an exercise in discomfort. It is time for you to make room at the table. Better yet, go sit in the living room. I am not here to coddle your feelings, not here for your amusement. No, you cannot touch my hair. This isn't a damn petting zoo. And stop coming into my office asking for the managers if you aren't already looking at one. Dear white people, stop telling me about this colorblind society you allegedly live in. Telling me you don't see race is the racist drivel I hope you choke on. Telling me you respect me but don't see my color is like saying you have to pretend I'm not black in order to respect me. But let me assure you, I am black, though there are plenty of things I'm not, like your sassy black friend. Stop saying, hey girl, when you see me. You ain't that slick. I hear the way you talk to Becky and Steve every day. You sound like vacation on Martha's Vineyard, where you waited in the bitter blue of the Atlantic. How I wish my toes could touch the ocean without stepping on the bones of my ancestors. Dear white teachers, why don't I know who my ancestors are? Why is only one part of my history important enough to teach? And for the love of God, stop swiveling your heads every time slavery is mentioned. Newsflash, I wasn't there. And just because I'm the only black person in this class doesn't mean you can ask me to speak on behalf of my race. I'll believe you really care about the opinion of black students when you stop shutting down conversations because I call a white student racist. Dear white people, why do you hate being called racist more than you hate racism? What? Listen to Tim Wise over actual black people about the black experience. Dear white people, stop using black on black crime as a reason we shouldn't be outraged by the murder of black people by white cops. If a black person kills another black person, they will go to jail, and that is what we call justice. If a white cop kills a black person, they will get paid leave, and that is what we call justice. Apparently, justice is when a black body dies. Dear white people, every time we've written white people, we have written it in lowercase because we are tired of you capitalizing on our pain. We are angry and raw and tired and angry and raw and tired and tired and tired. But we will not rest because we know the future belongs to those who prepare for it. And you have been getting us ready for centuries.
Because I have a lot of free time, I've been just like very interested in the roots of how evangelicals became such a potent political force. And in some ways, it's a homecoming for them, right? It was 1980, and it was really school desegregation efforts, and it was the Bob Jones fight against the IRS that brought evangelicals into the movement.
Explain the Bob Jones fight.
Bob Jones Christian University, and they basically outlawed interracial dating on the campus of Bob Jones University. There was another school involved in the suit that didn't allow black people in the school at all. That was the thing. Not abortion, not busing, but really desegregation was the thing that brought evangelicals into the movement, into the political movement of the right wing, under the auspices of, you know, free religion and free speech and what Christian institutions should be allowed to do. But really, at its core, it was race. And in some ways, we think about evangelicals and Trump as being so different, right? These godly, faithful people and this unfaithful person who's been found guilty in civil trial of sexual assault. The issue of race animates Donald Trump. The issue of race has long animated the evangelical movement. And in some ways, it makes perfect sense that you're seeing the unity that you are today.
And I'm so glad you said that.
Now, y'all see the Angelica. That's a church, right? You know what I'm saying? These are religious people that have some kind of situation. That's why I say y'all run around here molested in this religion that the non-pigmentation spewed out to y'all, and y'all don't even read the scripture and see what the scriptures really say, or get you a teacher that tells you, or get out of the box that you in and get into another box and see what makes sense. This what America spend
to you about the Bible, or find somebody who knows the Bible and spend it to you that way and see what is what. But we don't want to do this. We so molested in all this. And that's why I tell the other world out there. I tell them about America and their mindsets and stuff like that. And you see what they do to us, and we don't have the right to say what we say to let y'all know who y'all dealing with? Who y'all really mushing up with? And make it so bad, you know, Caucasian people always said the non-pigmentation man and a non-melanated woman always saying they feeling uncomfortable. Like their uncomfortability outrank everybody else's. And they make everybody else in this world uncomfortable. They made our forefathers uncomfortable. The way they do my forefathers and my nation makes me feel uncomfortable. The police, how they do my people, make me feel uncomfortable. Does that matter? Does my uncomfortable matter to you, or is just your uncomfortable? See, these are the mindsets that they do to try to throw you hard. And we got to understand this mindset, man. And that's why I always try to get us to build up our IQ. And most of y'all get mad because of what I put on my podcast and you want to challenge me. Don't challenge me on things that is being said or things are taking place. And I put it out here and you want to question my judgment. It's not all about me. It's all about seeing reality and seeing what's going on. But real recognize real. Phony sit back and complain. That's why I don't really deal with not a lot of unreal people, because I don't recognize unwanted unrealness. So we got to realize this. And we got to realize the type of things that we own. Snap, snap. We got to realize what we seeing out here. Snap, snap. And we got to realize how the world presenting this stuff to us. It's just like a big movie. Like I said, y'all, this is like a big movie. It's like a big movie. And then when you see, fam, and when you see them doing wrong, just like the sister wrote, "Dear white people," how many non-pigmentation man and non-melanated woman will understand what she has said? How many non-pigmentation man and non-melanated woman gonna be aggressive about what she has said? And it's so hard to understand. I'm gonna give you 2% of Caucasian people really have empathy. But the other 98, they don't care. Survivor of the finish. Why not me? You know what I'm saying? So we got to look at these, and then when you go and look at these things that they do, then they do a couple of things to y'all. And these are the tricks of the trades that we got to realize that we can't fall into. And when we see these tricks of the trade, it should be a red flag, man. It should be a red flag. And if you don't know what the red flag is, again, if you don't know what the red flag is, again, if you don't know what the red flags are.
It's the 4 D's.
What are the 4 D's?
They dismiss you. It was perfected on women hundreds of years ago. Just dismiss you. Hey, you know what? I'm not getting a fair shake here. They just dismiss you. Then you get a little upset about being dismissed and you say, no, this is real. We have to really get this on track. Then they discredit you. oh, look at that, okay. And then you get really a little louder, a little bit more aggressive, not in a bad way, but like we have to really deal with this. Then they move on to that third D, and they have to move on to that third D to get right with their Christian selves. They demonize you. And then once they hit that third D and they demonize you, they have a green light to go to that inevitable fourth D, destroy you.
Right.
So it's dismiss, discredit, demonize, destroy. It's the four Ds.
Black man would open his front door in the morning and he would see a bundle of sticks tied with string just laying on his front doorstep. And that was all it took. Because that was saying, next time it'll be dynamite. There were 48 families who were documented landowners in Forsyth County at that time, black documented landowners at that time.
In a matter of days, 1,100 black people were displaced, eclipsing any wealth and progress they'd made during Reconstruction.
They had to leave Forsyth County, regardless of what you had, what you owned, you had to leave.
Elon Osby is a descendant of one of those families. Her grandfather owned somewhere between 60 and 80 acres of land in Forsyth.
I have a home here that's on an acre of land almost, and you're really proud of that, you know? And to think that my grandfather had 80-something acres, it's staggering. It hurts. It's sad. And I can't imagine what my grandfather must have been feeling. Land was more important than money in the bank. And I'm sure that he was very proud of himself as a Negro man, you know, to have property like that.
Forsyth remained an all-white county for over 70 years, and that pattern of violence against black people continued.
Every decade I looked into, there was another episode of violence. There was another outbreak of really shocking.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I definitely feel like I'm gonna figure it out. God, what was that thing? I feel like we were just talking about it. Oh, I don't know, I'm sure it'll come to me.
Why they won't teach us the history of Egypt? After you have shackled and enslaved a people, branded, castrated, lynched, burned, and tortured them, you called them three-fifths of a man, subspecies, an ape, a monkey, and a general inferior creation, how can we then admit that they are our teachers and the ones who gave us civilization? How can we admit that we descended from Greece and from Rome, and that Greece and Rome stole everything they knew from Egypt? How to admit that? There's no room in a white supremacist psyche for black contributions to civilization or world progress. This reaches too far into the consciousness of the so-called objective white scholars of academia and their black-skinned counterparts. This is like asking a Nazi to accept the Jewish origins of Nazism and of Hitler, if that were the case. They couldn't accept it if it were true any more than the white supremacists can accept the African origins of civilization, the African origins of Christianity, the African origins of science, the African origins of everything. Philosophy originated in Egypt. Math originated in Egypt. Theology originated in Egypt. Philosophy originated in Egypt. Letters originated in Egypt. Everything started there. They were as ancient to the Romans as the Romans now are to us.
See, fam, you got to understand. See, we don't, this is something that y'all got to realize is more deeper than we can ever go mentally and spiritually. This is more deeper than it can we ever think about, right? So we got to realize this, y'all. Everybody talking about Egypt, right? And what Egypt had, and what Egypt did, and what culture did Egypt, you know, mingle with. But we fail to realize there was Hebrew as well in Egypt. The scriptures tell you that, but everybody wanna dismiss. Everybody wanna dismiss Egypt. right? Everybody want to dismiss the Hebrew. Click, click. I want y'all to check it out. Everybody want to dismiss that. Because as the Bible said, when Jacob, our forefather, when they went to Egypt, it was 60. And when they came out, what the Egyptians said, them Hebrews growing in numbers. So what makes you think that those artifacts and all this discovery and stuff that the Hebrew had with the Egyptian was none part of the Hebrew? Because we all, when they talking about Egypt, 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 because why they don't try to bring that narrative to you? Because then it opened up another can of worms. Because if the Egyptian wasn't Caucasian, then that means those people over there in Israel is not the true children of God. And they on that land illegally. So they had to always use that Middle Eastern or, you know, that white whatever. Because those are not the real people in Egypt that was there. They moved those people out and put some more people up in there and called themselves Egyptians. Egyptians were black people. And if you can't understand that the Egyptians were black people, just like you see now in Africa, in America, and all over the world, the Egyptian was that color. Because the Egyptian could never be Caucasian. So we got to think about that, man. We got to really analyze what's going on in there. Because they don't want you to figure this out. And when you figure it out, they want it to be too late. It's not going to be too late. Because Mosiah said he got this. And the ones that are really trying to endure in this, hey, he said continue enduring. And the ones that get up and get out and don't believe and not trying to believe and want to be wicked, go ahead. He already said, y'all, he already got you or designing you a place where you could take the wrath for somebody else that's trying to go come to his bosom. When evil erupt, the Most High take the righteous out and put an evil in to take the place of the righteous. So keep on. Do your thing. And everybody talking about Egyptology and they learned it talking about this. But my thing is, the conversation is, was Hebrews there? And did Hebrews take effect in the culture of the Egyptians? Because the black man and the black woman took the culture of America. America took the culture of us. Everybody want to talk slang. Everybody want to dress like us. Everybody want to play like us. Everybody want to mimic the things that we do. We see that in America, black man and black woman. We see that. So what makes you think when our forefathers was in Egypt and they were called Hebrews that they didn't do the same thing? We got to really think about that, man. Because everything I want to lay on the table, man, I want you to have a thought to it. You know, you already got your mindset, so that's a thought. Now, you hear what people saying, that's a thought. Now you hear my narrative to my thinking, and that's a thought. So you put all those thoughts together and come up to you with your conclusion. Because only truth gonna stand up and lie gonna fall down. But we don't wanna embrace the truth, because when you embrace the truth, it comes with consequence. It comes with sacrifice. It comes with reasoning. And it comes with accountability. And most of us don't want to be accountable. See, like in relationships, we don't even have a mindset of a black man and black woman that our relationship IQ is really down low. And we play these games like we really do know. And that, and we look at the statistics and see that our IQ in relationship is rated mental retardation. It's not borderline. It's straight 52. And we got to understand this, man. And this is not making fun or whatever, but I just want you to get the mindset of, you know, the position that we're in as a nation. 5, 20, or 100 individuals can be great. But when you're dealing with millions of people, what is them 100 people going to do with them millions of people? They can do a lot with the Most High, but at that time, they're going to be smothered. So that's why you need a lot more people. You like spiders with the webs, and just start throwing them webs out there and throwing that connection. They don't want you to connect. We got these handkerchief brothers out here. We got these handkerchief sisters out here. They playing their part. But we let the Most High deal with that. We got to realize the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. And what the wicked do is not for good for you. It's good for their wickedness. And all this stuff that you heard on my podcast since I started, and new stuff that I try to put up here every day, every time, so it won't be the same old stuff. This is for y'all, man. This is for y'all. You know, we sit back here and you can go on other networks and listen to it and all this. But my content that I put on here is the stuff that makes you think. The stuff that lets you be like Fred Flintstone when he on break, when he driving his car and he had to make a sudden break. Whoa! We got to analyze a whole lot of stuff. We in a trick hat, man. And the trick hat is so, so, so serious. This trick hat is so, so, so overwhelming. And we get mad at each other because we being corrected, knowing you doing wrong. And you being corrected. You know how many people that I talk to knowing they doing wrong because they're not ignorant. They're not stupid. They got a high mindset. And I know this. I know that they got a high mindset and their spirit is in the right way, or trying to find the right way, or got a good distribution about their spirit. And when you bring correction to them, they want to feel a certain type of way, want to denounce your friendship. But the most I say always, you know, people come in your life for a season, or just for a situation, or just for a breeze. And I understand that now as I get older and wiser and mature. True people and real people will be honest and real and true with themselves, honest and real and true with the people that they're around. And care about, and honest, and respectful, and loyalty. We don't even have that. We don't even know what that word loyalty means. That's not even in the school curriculum. You can ask 15 people what their definition of loyalty, and their answer probably would be mind-blowing. So we gonna try to be able to be understandable, and we're gonna try to be able to be better, man. We always got to take a Kodak moment. Sometimes we got to hear that ring in our ear to catch us, because we so much in the mix of our lifestyle, paying these bills, our family, the stress. But when are we going to be tired of that? I know I'm tired of that. I'm ready to live a good life. I'm ready for the Most High to give us our blessing, put us back in the position that we are in, and do what we have to do as a nation. I'm looking forward, hopefully, to seeing our nation come once again like Moses had brought our nation. But this time, we're not going to be doing all that grumping. But this time, we gonna see the magnificence of the Most High. And this time, we gonna acknowledge the Most High is our God. And this time, we know we not need to fall and lose those commandments. Because we had history that when we did stop doing the commandments that the Most High require us to do, that this happened. And we don't want this to happen no more. The mistreatment, the disrespect, the killing and murder and slaughtering our people, the financial burden, the gorilla, the monkey, and the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman on our backs. Thank you.
Kanye, get out. Exposing the sample, call him Kanye West. America gonna be destroyed, no doomsday threats. It's gonna get hit with ballistic missiles from Gog and Magog. You shouldn't have had liposuction, should have jogged the weight off. We the resistance, hear the bravery in my voice. You lied to us when you said slavery was a choice. Nigga must have smoked up a whole quarter piece. 1441, we was kidnapped by the Portuguese. When I hear the words, make America great again, all it means is make blacks and Latino slaves again. You said Bush don't care about black people. When it comes to cooning, you're a Barkley and Shaq's equal. You was the realest spitter ripping the beat up. Now you in a sunken place, spoon clicking the teacup. Yeah, learning you're a slave, mom turning in her grave. Lyrical sermon on the page, just burning off the mage. America was great when they stole the land from the natives. It was great when they brought blacks over on slave ships. It was great when they prospered our free labor. It was great when burning our bodies was sweet savor. It was great when they could rape our women at will. It was great when they did our children like Emmett Till. It was great when firemen sprayed us with hoses. It was great when they killed all our modern day Moses. Could you cherish a place where we perished in hate? Then wear a hat that says you want to make America great. Your character's fake, saying Trump represents freedom. He's eat him. He told cops when you stop blacks, mistreat them. Everything changed when you got with that ratchet thought. Your mom's casket dropped. Evil cerebral and rapid thoughts. The aftershock. You started tweaking off acid drops. High as an astronaut. I bet this shit happened to Travis Scott. Watch the throne. You really sold yourself a dream. It seemed the people high as up got the lowest self-esteem. You made back on the road to hell. You should be wearing that hat that says your soul is for sale. Yeah, look at all this backlash, hate. First you backstab Hov, then you backstab Drake. MK Ultra, I stuck in your mouth wide. This ain't the same Kumbaya from the south side. America was great when cotton picking with bloody fingers. It was great when we called Mexicans beaners. It was great when we didn't have a voice to speak. It was great when they fed us scraps, no choice to eat. It was great when they fed our babies to gators. It was great when they beat us before the taser. It was great in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. It was great when the media didn't cover our stories. Yeah, Deacon, aka Fop Lord, Sakari. All praise Yahweh, Shimei Oshai. Hey, Kanye, man, get out. You out of pocket, homie. All the Jews, all the gems, all the jewels and gems you gave us about our history, all the social injustice that you spoke out about. And now this ain't the land of our rest. All right? We under curses, we Israelites. They're not for us, man.